Good evening and welcome to another episode of Let's Talk Man with the Gents Clinic. Six South African male medical doctors on a mission to change the way in which we perceive healthcare. Joining us today in the studio is our very esteemed guest, our first professional mixed martial arts fighter, Faiz Jacobs, the current EFC bantamweight champion. Let's give him a big round of applause, everybody. Faiz, thank you for joining us. I am so looking forward to this. You know, we've had a professional bodybuilder come on the show. We've had other sports figures and people that have an interest in the fight game, maybe just training.
Yeah.
But I think now we've got a professional to tell us about his journey, and I hope you guys enjoy it. So Faiz, welcome, and thank you for okay, joining man. Us today.
It's really good to be here. I can't wait to share my story with you guys. And
yeah.
Some of the things that us as professional fighters have been going through. I've been doing this since I was 16 years old. So I've been doing this well over, I mean, I'm 30 now, so.
14 years.
Long time.
You've been in a fight game. What discipline did you start with? Kickboxing, was it?
I started with boxing. So martial arts is very difficult to find back in the day. So moving around, when I started my career, I was in Mitchell's Plain.
Yeah.
And the only thing they had to offer was boxing. But I'm so glad for it now because these guys can do the talking.
They do the talking. So then you evolved from boxing, you went into kickboxing.
So what happened was I fought a guy that was undefeated in kickboxing. I beat him in boxing. Then I challenged him to a kickboxing fight.
Without having
kickboxing fight.
So you're like, it's fine. Even though you kick and box, I'm just going to box you.
I'll box you.
I didn't know how to block kicks. So I had to fight this guy with a game plan of, I'm going to be at a range where we are just going to punch each other.
Mm.
So it was a very grueling fight. We went chest to chest. Chest to chest.
And you beat him?
I beat him. And then what happened was, because he was undefeated, he was 5-0 in kickboxing. I beat him, and then they had us fight for a vacant belt in the next fight. So my second ever kickboxing fight was a championship fight.
Yeah.
And I became a champion.
From that second fight.
Yeah, that was 6 months into training kickboxing at an actual facility.
Mm.
Other than me by myself.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, with a
yeah,
bag
yeah.
in
With a bag in my garage, yeah.
Crazy, man.
So do you want to maybe tell us a little bit more about, you know, your upbringing and, you know, what do you think led you to even kickboxing and this type of sport? Just a brief for the guests, you know?
So I grew up, I moved around growing up.
Mm-hmm.
I moved quite a bit. I went to 9 different schools. I lived in 22 households. So I was always the new kid. I was always the guy that has to start somewhere new.
And with that
comes a lot of conflict.
Of course.
Yeah.
With that
yeah.
comes a lot of people trying to take advantage of you,
exactly.
people, different styles of bullying.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I was always afraid to fight, but I was secretly in love with it. Jackie Chan was my guy. Like on a Friday night, Friday night, SABC 1, 8 p.m., those were my things.
Yeah.
And what my coming out party was actually a backyard brawl.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So I had gone through this thing where I was getting bullied, and I had enough, and I was going to myself every day in the mirror, and I'm like, I'm gonna get this guy. I'm gonna do something about this.
Yeah.
But how did you break that fear, that anxiety? Because I know. Because we met for the first time yesterday, right? We had dinner, and Faiz, you walked us through the phases of how you broke down your fear. And I think there's very few people in life that go through, okay, I'm scared of this thing. This is what I'm going to make my own plan on how to break this fear.
Yeah.
And you did that. How did you do that?
So I'd always get into this.
Firstly, what was your biggest fear? Was your biggest fear retaliation? Or was your biggest fear like, what is he, if I do something, he's going to do something back
to
me?
Yeah.
What was it that was the real fear that you had?
I just got into a place where I froze. I completely froze. I couldn't act. The more the moment built, the more the anticipation built, the more I felt like I was imploding. I was caving in on myself.
Mm.
So it was just this paralyzing fear. And I decided that I needed to recreate moments like these so that I could feel that fear.
Yeah.
So that when it came, I could do something about it. So I became a delinquent. I became the guy that would do things that was very risky, that was could get me into big trouble, so I could recreate that fear.
Recreate that fear so you could overcome it. Mm.
Just another question for me. Do you think all of that was purely just the bullying? Or like you said, you've always had this love-hate sort of relationship with fighting. It's always been something you sort of found very, very interesting. It's just that you were obviously scared of what might happen or how you might deal with the situation. Or do you think the bullying was actually a huge player?
I think both has a role to play.
Is it?
Mm. I think the bullying was the thing I needed to overcome. Mm-hmm. That was the thing that was holding me back.
Yeah, yeah.
And I feel like in life, usually our greatest gifts is very close to our biggest fear. And my biggest fear was confrontation. And I had seen it so many times throughout my life where people had been causing issues with one another, and somebody did something to someone and a fight broke out. And that gave me so much anxiety.
Mm.
And when I got into that situation, I just felt like I completely froze.
Mm.
So what I decided to do was I decided to recreate these moments. I decided to make myself afraid. I was going to pursue my fear until I could get over it somehow, because it was depressing.
Yeah, yeah.
And like, the long story short, like I broke into a tuck shop. I stole the school's bell. I cut the electric bell. I wrote swear words over the wall. But what was happening was every time I did that, that fear would arise. Mm. And slowly but surely, it started to become this thing where when the fear came, I would just act. When the fear came, I would just act. And my trigger became shorter and mm-hmm. shorter and mm-hmm. shorter.
Mm-hmm.
And one day I was sitting in class, and this is like one of those moments in life that I'll remember forever. And I struggled to focus, but I was focusing on this day. And somebody threw me with a newspaper. Inside the newspaper was a stone. And the newspaper hit me on the side of my face, and it felt like someone slapped me.
Mm.
And usually what happens in moments like this is that paralyzing fear comes over me. And in this moment, I felt a calmness, a sort of mercilessness, a decisiveness. I was so sure of what I was about to do. And I got out of my desk, and I walked over to the guy, and this guy is laughing. He's laughing and he's and
where's
blaming.
The, where's the teacher in all he's, of this?
Nah, it was a free period.
Oh, okay.
So he's blaming this other guy for what had happened now.
Yeah.
But I knew it was the guy that was laughing.
Mm-hmm.
So I walked over and pretended like I was going to do something to the guy that was sitting at the table. And I turned around, I hit this guy over my shoulder. And as I connected that first shot, I just kept hitting and I kept hitting. And it felt like this thing just poured out of me. This, whatever I was holding back just poured out of me. And when you punch somebody really clean in the face, it's like eating a piece of meat when you're hungry.
Yeah.
Like eating a piece of meat when you're hungry. You want to take another bite.
You see, now this is why you're champion.
So that's what it feels like when you punch someone in the face. And I hit him several times. I was even shocked. And he sat down and then he stood up as if he was going to do something.
Mm.
And I punched him another few times and he sat. And I said, now what now? And he shook his head. And I walked away. And I kid you not, it was one of the most liberating moments of my life.
Yeah.
One of the most liberating moments of my life. I was never the same.
Did he ever mess with you again?
Nah, not with me. Not just me.
Did anyone ever mess with you again in that class?
I went to an all boys school, so yeah. I had to get into several more altercations before my name was cleared.
Mm.
And when I started in high school, the whole first year, I was still being bullied.
Yeah.
I was still being bullied. So in primary school, every year I changed.
Mm-hmm.
And every single year I can name the bullies by name. And I can tell you exactly what they did to me.
Mm.
Okay, mm. Different area codes, different wealth, different beliefs. all of them have their own style of bullying. So I had gone through it for years, and there was just a time where I said, this is enough. This is enough. I need to do something about this. And I actively went and chased, weirdly self-improving, because I had missed out on so many moments, like fundamental moments in growing up, changing all the time, going to a different school, different friends. Mm-hmm. You know, there's things that build your character. There's things that where you're part of a culture, when you get your moment and you get lifted up, you get your award and people celebrate you. Mm-hmm. And mm-hmm. moments like that for me was always fleeting.
Mm-hmm.
So I would say very low self-esteem.
Yeah.
And I just had to do something about it.
Mm-hmm.
I had to do something about it. And what happened was, there's a saying in martial arts that if you are shy and insecure, martial arts will give you confidence.
Mm-hmm.
If you are overconfident and cocky and arrogant, martial arts will give you humility.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
I experienced that. I experienced both degrees of that. And it was the reason I learned to control my anger, the reason I learned to put that trauma into something positive, was because martial arts gave me the catalyst to do that.
Mm-hmm.
Martial arts mm-hmm. allowed me to experience these confronting things in a safe environment where I had to have my own back. It was the ultimate. Martial arts and life is the same. The psychology, study of life.
Philosophy.
The philosophy. The philosophies apply directly to life.
Mm.
And that changed me forever.
And so do you feel like martial arts has shaped your personality, your character? Like, without it, you wouldn't be the person that you are today?
100%. 100%, because I remember being bad at a lot of things, but for some reason I could fight. And fighting welcomed me. Fighting chose me as a son, if I can put it to you that way.
Yeah.
It gave me hard lessons to learn, but it shaped my character into a person that I never thought I could be.
Mm.
It helped me see me. It helped me acknowledge me. It helped me look at myself in the mirror, that same mirror where I would judge myself, that same mirror where I put myself down for not standing up to that mm-hmm. bully. And that mirror was in front of me, and I could say, I'm proud of you, dude. I love you, dude. I believe that you got me, because I know what we just went through.
Yeah. So how do you then move now from obviously getting this passion, or this one moment where you punched and felt the adrenaline, to actually joining, I don't know if you join a club for MMA or
absolutely. So I
how was your transition?
I moved schools a lot. So mm-hmm. In this particular year, I went to one school for the first term, and then the second term I went to another school.
Yeah.
And it was literally my second day at school. And I was being shown around, I was being moved around the school. Hey, this is the activity center, this is the rugby field. So, and I come around the corner and these two guys are fighting. And they're fighting with MMA gloves on.
Mm.
And the rules is fight until first blood. Crazy, crazy.
This is
crazy. Just boxing okay. though. It is high school. And I see this guy literally beat this other guy. The other guy was barely fighting back.
Mm.
Like, he threw two punches, but it didn't even look like he was trying. And they hit him and he was blocking. And when his mouth was bleeding, he showed, oh, I'm bleeding, I'm done. And I feel like something just nudged me forward. I said, okay, I'll do it.
Mm-hmm.
And I put the gloves on. First time putting a pair of gloves on with my fingers open. And it was the craziest. It felt welcoming. And this guy came towards me and I hit him with a jab. And the jab that caught him was so clean. It was shocking. Like, I never hit somebody that hard, that clean. Because the previous times when I fought, I was fighting out of anger. So my punches were filled with emotion. It was stiff.
Mm-hmm.
But this time when I hit this guy, because it was sport.
Yeah.
There was no heavy emotion around it. I punched this guy and his head bounced back. And I was shocked by the moment.
Mm.
And this guy came and he just started punching me, and I was blocking his shots completely calm, and I fall over this grass roller. And as I'm trying to stand up, he pushes me and he punches me. And that was an unfair shot. That was a cheap shot.
Mm.
And then they bring us back to the center. And as I get up, that very same feeling comes over me. Merciless, calm. I know exactly what is about to happen now.
Mm.
My mercy switch just switches off. Mm. And I show him the left. And as I throw the right doesn't land completely clean. And I throw the left. And his hand is up, but it comes around the side. And I catch him because the gloves cover these knuckles. This knuckle was open. I catch him with this.
Mm.
These knuckles here. I catch him on the side of the eye. And he puts his hand up. And as he opens his eye, blood runs down his eye. And I'll never forget what that moment felt like. I'll never forget what that moment felt like. It was, there was just a calmness that came over me. I can't believe I just did that. And my training journey started from there. One of the guys that watched that fight was fighting provincial kickboxing.
Mm-hmm.
And he had a gym. And then he invited me.
And that's how you started training?
That's how I started training.
Yeah. Wow.
Interesting stuff, eh? And then in terms of, obviously now you're part of a club. It's now sort of more formalized. Do you guys follow any particular training program? Like in terms of strength building?
Absolutely. So,
or is it just boxing and kick?
It's you need to study the martial arts. Mm. So mixed martial arts is really crazy because you can put whatever is your recipe, you can put inside of it.
Mm.
So guys that come from taekwondo, they can transition into MMA. Guys that come from boxing can transition into MMA. There's guys that have not even started in another form. They started their whole journey as MMA fighters. Mm. So what I say is necessary is you need to study the martial arts, all of them effectively, and you need to build things around your game plan, and your personality, and who you are, because like it's not just understanding martial arts, it's how you bring yourself into martial arts. Who are you as an expression of MMA? So you need to study the arts for what they are. Then you need to do strength and conditioning that makes sense.
Yeah.
For the right muscle groups, the right kind of fast twitch muscle fibers, the right kind of movements that's gonna be used in a fight. You can't lift slow weights, for example.
Mm-hmm.
You can't also excessively run.
Yeah.
If you excessively run, you only just end up stretching out your lungs, but it's not the kind of explosiveness you need for fighting.
Mm-hmm.
Fighting is much more closer to sprinting.
Yeah. Yeah.
So you need to combine strength training, speed training, and then also your martial arts training. So you need to be explosive, and you really need to understand how to use your energy, conserve energy, how to hurt someone, how to make your punches effective, how to be able to use grappling, because when you're wrestling, it's power.
Yeah.
And then when you're striking, it's back to speed. It's posture, it's mobility, it's flexibility. And you really need to understand where you're lacking and how to push what you need to work on. So it's a multitude of training. And one thing I have to say is that it's consistently evolving.
Is it?
It's consistently evolving. You need to keep track with the times, and you need to push. You need to push different types of training and recognize where your weaknesses are and build yourself up there while simultaneously pushing your strengths.
Mm.
Also, for me personally, I train to knock people out. That is my understanding. So I'm looking for accuracy. I'm looking for precision.
Yeah.
Looking for balance. And I'm looking to do it in a beautiful, spectacular way.
Mm.
When you watch it, it needs to be like art.
Yeah. I've watched some of your fights, eh? Well, Suhail shared a lot of your fights.
Yeah.
And yay, the precision, man.
I wouldn't want to
be the guy on the other side. I look at them and I'm like, hey, you know, with these guns, I'm nothing.
I think the other thing that fighting has given you is confidence, right? Confidence not only in your capabilities of nobody can mess with me, but just self-confidence.
Mm.
And a lot of people go their whole lives and they never get that, right? But what advice would you have to a kid that's out there that's getting bullied, that feels like they can't speak up, they're within themselves, their thoughts, It's affecting them. They're excluding themselves from their family, their friends. Mm,
mm.
What would you advise them to do?
I'd advise them to go to a martial arts gym.
Mm.
There's a brotherhood in a martial arts gym that you can get almost nowhere else. There's total respect because you're doing something that is so dangerous, but you're practicing it on one another in a safe way.
Yeah.
And you build a connection. And over time, people start to see your progression. You start to believe in one another. You start to push one another.
Mm.
You become stronger. You become more physically fit. You start to understand your body better. You start to understand your temperament better, your emotions. Because when you're sparring and you get hit and you lose your temper, you realize I'm a very reactive person. Every time I get upset, I blow things out of proportion.
Mm-hmm.
There's consequences when your emotions are out of control. So I think that martial arts can present you with a nice mentality for a stoic approach to life.
Yeah.
And it will 100% build your confidence. And also stress relief like nothing else. To eat something really sets you free.
You know, I think you also touched on a very important thing, right? Obviously trying to motivate people to go to the right spaces to practice, you know, martial arts. But I'm just thinking, I have two boys, right? I have two sons, they're 2 years. And there was this one time I was listening on radio and parents were calling in. Basically, the discussion was around bullying.
Mm.
And I think I just remember clearly this one guy saying, you know, he's been sending his kids to different schools because of these issues. Like the kids would be bullied. He addresses the problem. And obviously these days you can't be as a dad saying, you know, go moor that child back. You know, it just doesn't work like that, you know. But, you know, I was so angered while I was listening to this guy to say, I mean, we used to fight in school, bro. Like, I mean, that's how you built your confidence as well, you know. I'm sure I didn't get any of the thrill that you're mentioning. But, I mean, self-defense was something that was there. I mean, you just had to sort of defend yourself most of the time. So basically my question to you is, what do you think is the best advice now for kids? Do you think...
Go moor your bullies.
Do you think I'll be a bad dad for saying, learn how to fight?
I believe there's a certain line that you need to draw in the sand. At some point, somebody's... And trust me, I've had dozens of bullies. I've had bullies over my friends. They were my damn friends. Like, there was this guy, I was in grade 7, there's this guy. We walked home together every day. Every day. When he came to my house, he ate a sandwich with me, and we played, my stepdad had a mini golf set.
Mm.
And we played mini golf before he left. That's what we did. And it was a religious, it was like a routine that him and I had.
Mm.
And I'm standing one day in the line, and because I was in school, I had a very low reputation. So people was always making fun of me. My school pants wasn't low enough.
Mm.
My ankles were showing.
Mm.
It was any kind of bullshit reason they needed to pick on me. And I'm standing in the line, and I don't know why, I was just feeling like a good person today. I stood in the line first. And I'm standing there, and as I'm standing there, these two guys, the one guy runs in front of me, and I just see this guy run in front of me, and someone was running behind me. And between them, they were holding a rope. And as they were holding it, I was just standing there. This rope just pulls me in the air, and they swing me, and they just let me fly.
Yeah.
They just let me fly. On concrete.
What school is this? I need to avoid
on
my
concrete. Okay, it was a school. I don't want no lawsuits. So I'm not going to mention the school's names.
Okay, so I'm going back to Cape Town.
And they just threw me in the concrete. And I got up and I did nothing. I dusted myself off. The entire school, break time was done. Everybody was getting ready to stand in their lines. The entire school saw that happen. Nobody said a thing. Nobody did a thing. I stood in that line and internally, I was broken. Internally, just standing there with my school bag. You know that when you just feel lost and empty?
Mm. Emasculated.
Emasculated, 100%. Mm. 12 years old, I'm standing there. This guy was one of the guys that I actually liked.
Wait, one of these two guys?
One of the two guys was the guy
who came home every day and eat the sandwich.
Yes, the guy that ate the sandwich. The guy that ate the sandwich. Oh, and not too long after that, we started walking home again. I was just
pretended like
it was nothing. But yeah. Then like I never spoke to him about, never confronted him about, never did anything. So now when a bully does something like that, they are beyond talking to. They are beyond talking to because they are using.
Then they need to talk to you first.
Yeah.
Time to talk to the first.
I had this guy that I went to school with, and he said sometimes, because I strangely enough, I actually used to ask people advice on how they fought people. Like I used to be like, how do you fight someone? Like what do you think when you hit somebody? What's happening? Do you think you could win him in a fight? How would you win him in a fight? Like, because I was so afraid of it, I was trying to gather data. And one guy told me, you know, that guy, no? You see this guy with a big mouth. Now, I'm going to say this exactly like he said it. He said, sometimes you just need to give him one harabek squat. That means one hard shot, one hard first shot to the face. Just mm-hmm. one. Just one, and he'll respect you after that. Just one. The craziest thing happened when I started martial arts. Because of my presence, because of my confidence, because of the way I carried myself, nobody even approached me for bullying. There was no bully in sight. Mm. Even before competition, even before real competition, before I was well known and people knew, okay, this is what this guy is doing. My presence changed. Who I became changed. I had confidence in myself. I wasn't my self-esteem changed.
You even
changed.
Provoked the bullies, didn't you?
Once I popped my cherry, once I popped my cherry in high school, I started looking for fights.
Proverbial cherry, yeah?
I started looking for fights with all of these guys. All of the guys that was especially the guys that was known for bullying. Like there was the one guy I told you about now, his younger brother would bully people. And then the older brother's like 4 years older than us. And the older brother, he'd bully the people. Then when the people want to fight with him, then the older brother jumps in. And we were all in the same class. And that was the guy that I punched. And I decided that that guy that I punched, funnily enough, still kept bullying people. He didn't do it to me, but he still kept bullying people. And what I wasn't going to allow was, I wasn't going to allow the older brother to step in. So I would have the saying, like, it starts with a swear word, and then I'd say, do you want to roar? Which means, do you want to fight? And I'd walk up to this guy and I'd be like, Pete, do you want to fight? And then he'd be like, no, my bro, what are you talking about? But when I said it, I meant it. When I said it, I meant it, because I was so sick of seeing this happen. And eventually, that guy got into another fight. Somebody else also stood up to him. And this big brother wanted to step in. And I said, you step in, you and me are going to fight. And he did nothing. So my presence started to change. Yeah, I'm gonna tell you the story of my biggest moment of, I would say, all my training and my preparation came down to this one particular moment. We were sitting in class, and this guy, so there's this thing where guys leave and they go study, outside of school, and they come back to school, and then they're years older than everybody else. So I was in grade 10, and this guy was 19, and we were all 16. But this guy was much taller than the rest of us.
Of course, yeah.
And he would just take things from people and push his weight around, and people gave him a lot of strength because they were afraid of him. So they reacted to him in a scared manner. And this guy would just abuse people literally because he could just walk over them. One day I was sitting in class. The teacher was there. And somebody passed me toilet paper. And I know in class you pass things. You pass things around. And the toilet paper was on my... I looked. I didn't see anybody. I left it on my desk. And this guy started swearing at me. Faiz, your pee. Faiz, pass the toilet paper. I'll hit you in your... I'm like, you want the toilet paper? Come fetch the toilet paper, man. And I right? I'm writing on. This guy picks the toilet paper up, blows his nose. I hear him blow his nose behind me. Blows his nose. Cheap shots me in the back of the head. I jump out of the, I turn around and jump out of the desk. I grab him in the chest and we start rolling around and they pull us apart. There's a teacher in class and they send us to the office. We come to the office, we're waiting for the principal. And the caretaker comes by and he's like, come with me guys, I'm going to take you back to class. So we used to get hiding at school.
Yeah.
So the caretaker just told the teacher, no, they got hiding. It sorted, the principal saw them. He didn't see us. I said, tell that guy to come to the back. Break time, tell him to come to the back. And when I got to the, when I was approaching the back, I'm approaching the back. There is so many people in the back. It's the smokers' corner. It's the it's the bad guys corner. And we
the
go
party in the school.
We go to the back, and on my way there, somebody takes my bag off for me. Like they're like taking my bag off for me. Like
that was the first time we felt like a real champion. Someone's like,
taking it off. Taking it off for me. Someone's like,
did
hey,
someone you play an entrance song for you?
I took my tie off and I walked over to this guy and he literally repeated my words to me. Pete, do you want to roll? And I just did a slow nod. And he brought the punch and I could see this punch coming at me in slow motion.
Yeah.
But I wanted this punch to land. And when that punch landed, I grabbed him by the tie. I turned the tie and I pulled him down and him and I were eye to eye, but his posture was very badly broken. And I just started hitting this guy so fast that like he could barely punch back. I was just wailing on him and I noticed his teeth, because he had false teeth. I noticed his teeth fall false out of his teeth. Mouth. As you see,
false teeth.
Now there's
your
this
grandfather's in your school.
There's this thing where guys pull their teeth out and they call it a passion gap because it's apparently good for kissing.
That's a wood thing.
Oh,
they take the two front teeth. The four front teeth.
Yeah. Anyways,
I thought it was too much fish.
No, it's apparently a sexy thing. Okay. Anyways, and I'm punching this guy and in the corner of my eye, I'll never forget it, I see this shoe, literally, you know the grasshopper school shoe?
Yeah.
I see the school shoe flying through the air and it hits me in the side of the face. And I'm just continuing to fight this guy. And I'm going after him, but I can feel like I'm being hit also. As I'm being pulled away, his brother's busy hitting me from this side. His cousin's busy hitting me from this side. And I was busy fighting him. And I walk away and I felt like I won that fight. And the whole school just saw me win that fight.
Yeah.
The whole school just saw me win that fight. And that guy's...
Strap him.
That guy is the guy that was bullying everybody. When I get to the front, they took me around the front of the school. They took him around the back. When I got to the front of the school, my eye was almost swollen shut. I think it was the kick. I think it was the kick. The bottom of my eye was swollen. The top of my eye was swollen. My eye was like barely exposed.
Yeah.
I got 4 days suspension. Worth it. Worth it.
So does that answer your question, Sansa?
By then, I had a reputation.
I agree with you. At some point, violence, there has to come a point where there's a threat of violence. Otherwise, nobody listens. It doesn't matter who you are, what race, color, creed, gender, it does not matter. But if there's no threat of violence, this is why countries have armies. We're not at war all the time, but we just have that threat of violence. That if you come to our country and if you try and take over us, you try to change anything here, you try to do anything here, we have an army that will threaten you with violence.
I guess,
so we have to have some level of violence in the world. That has to exist so that people who are good will learn how to wield that power responsibly. So for example, you've got a kid that's being bullied. He's 12 years old. He doesn't know what to do. You put him in martial arts. Now he knows when to use that power.
Yeah.
So he's not just going to start fighting with, well, he's not like fighting.
You're on a roll.
So, you know, but essentially, he's going to learn discipline. He's going to learn that I can only use this in very specific circumstances because this is not a fair fight.
Yeah,
exactly. I'm trained now.
Yeah,
I've got the upper hand on these people. I know exactly how to break anything that they try at me. And that I think that for a lot of people is what's most liberating.
If I taught you how to throw a punch, within 2 minutes you'd be able to punch harder than you'd ever punch in your entire life.
Yeah.
And I do that every day.
Yeah.
Like you literally can break facial bones. Literally. But it must be wielded with respect. With great power comes great responsibility.
Exactly. Yeah.
Because sometimes it's only a warning shot that you need to give someone to let them know, like, hey.
Open palm strike. You can finish a fight sometimes just with eye contact.
You the feel like that now. Now that you know you've worked your way up the ranks, you surely know about the psychology, the mentality of
what the other person is feeling.
When you're staring at them down, this feeling, like how did you develop that skill of understanding people first?
People were intimidating me for a very long time.
So you could see that in their eyes. You basically took that same
skill,
energy, and you were like,
I brought it
I'm
into
bullying
my craft.
You in this cage tonight. I'm manhandling you.
100%. Yeah. 100%. I also learned that some people thrive on power. There's so many different variants of how people try and intimidate you. Some people thrive on power. They want to put fear in you. And if they can't, they lose confidence. Then there's some people that is... They're already second guessing themselves. So with a little bit of
confidence, like bravado.
No, you just need to be bigger than the moment.
Ah.
Bigger than the moment. And they start to feel as if there's too much pressure now. So these psychological battles.
Give us an example of this.
Where you can literally just be like, don't touch me. Don't.
So
it's your aura that's determining the outcome.
I was shooting pool in stones one day. And I was walking through a passageway. And this guy stood
You're
in front.
A professional fighter.
I'm a professional fighter. That's this year.
Okay.
Yeah, sometime this year. And I'm just... I don't even know if this guy knew who I was. But he stood in front of me. And then I walked and he stood in front of me again. I looked at this guy. And I immediately knew what he was attempting to do. I immediately knew he was trying to make me small so that he can feel big about himself. I looked at him and he even did this when he said it on my jersey. He's like, my grandma has the same jersey. And I looked at him and I just froze for a second. I paused and I said, that's adorable. And I just moved him. And as I moved him with my hand, I kept eye contact the entire time. And I walked past him. I felt the energy shift. Because he thought when he did that, that either he was going to stir an emotion of anger in me, or he was gonna get me to feel small. But the scariest thing when it comes to a fight, the most intimidating thing is calmness.
Calmness. Not anger, not
this over big thing that you need to do to make yourself feel like you're great. Calmness is the scariest thing. Like, masculine energy sometimes is described as endless nothingness.
Yeah.
That's what you want him to feel. Endless nothingness. No matter what he does, there's nothing.
You don't react. You don't respond.
You don't get anything that you can use. It's all information is all zero.
Sheesh.
That's very tiring. Like if you punch someone in the face and you get a zero response, that punch felt like it was worth nothing.
So tell me about the body language of fighting, or the way you communicate with somebody else that you're about to fight with without obviously actually physically hurting them yet. Because the preamble, the pre-fight, that's where the intimidation really happens. That's where the mental game is won. How do you do that?
You need to know the guy. You need to know what the guy is about, and you need to expose him to himself. All of them have insecurities. All of them have fears around these things. You need to help them see it.
Okay.
You need to help them see. You need to bring it to light.
Yeah.
And you need to make them understand that the consequences of a mistake is going to cost them dearly. So that you cause second guessing.
Yeah.
And you cause second guessing.
Have you ever found yourself, I wouldn't say underestimating an opponent, But, you know, reading someone and being like, you know what, he's...
100%. 100% I've made that mistake.
But then how do you deal with that? How do you deal with yourself?
Like you're undefeated, you're bully badass, everybody knows who you are, you're whopping everybody, and there's this air of invincibility that you get because you have an O. Nobody's touched your O. Like I was saying, you can martial arts teaches you both ways. If you are too shy,
cocky.
If you're too cocky, it's gonna bring you down.
Mm.
If you're too shy, it's gonna bring you up.
Yeah.
And I learned that lesson greatly because I felt like I lost to a guy that wasn't that shouldn't have beaten me. I beat myself up about it, but I understood now that I also something that was as a part of my personality. Sometimes when challenges came because I was talented in this particular thing, I didn't take it as seriously as I should have. I always trained hard.
Mm-hmm.
I always trained hard. I never stopped training hard. But I just didn't give people the respect that they deserved. It's in the fighting arena.
When you were there. Arena. Not in the training. You are ready for whatever comes.
Yes. It's just I thought that I was in... You get this thing where you think you're invincible.
Yeah.
This guy can't hurt me. He can't do something to me. And then you learn that lesson the hard way. And you realize everybody must be taken seriously. A fight at 100%. The end of the day
100%.
Is dangerous.
And what's the worst injury or the worst injury you've had from post a fight?
I snapped an ankle. I tore a tendon.
Tear a tendon in your ankle?
I tore a tendon in my right ankle in a 5-round fight in the very first round. In a 5-round fight in the very first round. I felt it's like a rubber band that was being pulled to its end and I felt it snap. I felt it tear. Oh,
which tendon? Your Achilles?
The tendon on the side over here.
Oh, wow.
So it was as if, what I usually have is three-dimensional movement in my ankle. I could only hold my, I was holding my ankle like this and I was just stepping on it flat.
Yeah.
So I had no side-to-side movement. Yeah, yeah. So my angles was being cut off. My ability to evade was cut off.
You can't move as quickly.
I couldn't kick as nicely on the leg.
Was this a mistake you did? Like twisted ankle or the guy went to your ankle?
The guy took me down and I tried to put my foot down to catch myself. And as I put my foot down, he caught me at an angle where my toes was pointed like this, like a ballet dancer.
Mm.
And he dropped down with all his weight and my weight on the ankle. I fought 5 rounds and that was the night I won my first EFC Bantamweight World Championship.
Yeah, well, congratulations, man. That's a phenomenal story. So we have to wrap up soon. Tell us, what are the future plans and currently in the EFC and going forward and beyond? What does the future look like for Faiz Jacobs?
I'm going to get to the UFC. I'm going to represent this country on the biggest stage, on the biggest platform.
Yes, sir.
We believe that.
100%. And we're going to be claiming we had you on the show.
Yeah.
Absolutely. I'll be back. I'll be back with a UFC belt sitting right here. I'll be back because this is something that I've been working tirelessly for. When I was 16 years old, I made a decision that this is something I was going to do.
Mm.
I wasn't good at much else. I became vegan when I was in high school.
Yeah.
Instead of studying, I ran to the beach. I hit the boxing bag for an hour. I would take a run. My one weight was 2.5 kgs. The other weight was 3 kgs. So I'd run there with the one in my right hand. And when I'd run back, I'd run with the other one in my left hand to make sure I was getting equal gains.
Yeah.
I was the guy that spent Saturdays learning how to skip so that when I got to class on Monday, I knew what I was doing. I was the guy that was teaching the guys, the rugby players in high school to box so that I had people to spar with. I was the guy that would put myself in situations. My first fight came after 2 weeks of training. 2 weeks of training, I took a
formal
fight.
Formal training.
I took up my very first fight. I've taken fights on 24 hours notice. I've bled for this. I've gotten 18 stitches in my face in one fight. I almost had my arm broken. I fought in the Etihad Arena. I have been stripped bare in this career. I have been broken. I have been beaten. I have lost it all and came back to reclaim it. There is nothing that this game can stop me from taking. I believe 100%. I'm undeniable.
Mm-hmm.
I'm undeniable because I love it. Do you know what I was doing? 3 a.m. last night, I was in the gym.
In the gym after we had supper.
After we had supper, I went to the gym.
Like almost midnight.
Okay.
And you went back and you was like 3 a.m. I'm going to train. Did you sleep?
I slept from 4 a.m. after showering to 7.
Wait, so you didn't sleep till 3 a.m. and you were like, I'm going to go train now?
Yeah.
What did you do in the gym at 3 a.m.?
Which gym is this at 3 a.m.? Luckily, the nice thing about the hotel that I'm staying at is they've got a very nice gym.
Oh, okay. Okay.
So I was doing some bag work. I just needed to let some these moments of inspiration that come over me, and I need to practice my craft. I must do it. This is the thing that I need to consistently own to be absolutely perfect in. This is the one place in my life where I can chase perfection.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
This is something that I have developed over years. The emotions that I've gone through, the confrontation that I've gone through with myself, the developing of a punch. I'm still evolving what my punches look like every day.
Yeah.
Every day. I'm still that kid. Last night I was still that kid. I was trying to hang that boxing bag up alone. It took me almost 15 minutes to hang that bloody boxing bag up. Luckily, there was a lady that was mopping outside, and she came. So I held the boxing bag and she could hook it on for me. But that reminded me.
At 3 a.m., she must have been like, who is this guy?
Yeah, he's crazy.
Why does he want to assemble our gym at this time?
That reminded me of all those times when we were moving several times, and I had to hang my boxing bag up in different locations. And I was taken through this time where, like, this is timeless. These moments, these things, this is career defining. This will define me one day as a parent.
Yeah.
This will define me in so many ways. And the contribution I make to this planet, the fact that something that I'm so passionate about, something that I love, something that I can be obsessed about, this, like people are watching the Boca game, I'm training. It can do something positive in the world.
Yeah.
That to me is something I've always dreamed of.
Mm-hmm.
My heroes are Bruce Lee. My heroes are Muhammad Ali.
Yeah.
My heroes are guys that was ordinary, that built themselves into something that was remarkable.
Yeah.
Something that left ripples in times. They captured moments of greatness.
Mm.
And that is what human potential realized. And when people see that, it goes on forever. And these are the only real moments that we can have. This is the only contribution that I believe we can make. Mm-hmm. The only thing that is real besides your family, like the family and the loved ones that you have, is how you can affect positive change in the world.
Yeah.
100%, man. 100%.
And if you can do it doing something you love.
I fully, fully agree with you. I mean, between Nhlanhla and I, we've been friends for a long time. We studied together. We know. One of the things that binds us and our friendship together is that we're very passionate people. And we love meeting other passionate people who really love what they do. Like Nhlanhla is also a professional bodybuilder himself, as well as
Rick Shakhtar. I see he's in shape. He walked in,
so you can talk to him after this. You can talk to him about the weight cuts, because he also does that.
We can share quite a lot.
I mean, we could probably go on and chat, but Nhlanhla, do you have any last questions or anything for Faiz?
I think you touched a little bit on it, but I'm just thinking for the little ones who are interested in joining MMA or just your martial arts, how do you start? I mean,
just reach out to your nearest.
Yeah.
Or assist? Do you?
Fine. I've got a gym in Cape Town.
Oh, okay.
Troublemakers Mixed Martial Arts. I'm based in Plumstead. Mm-hmm. So I am now actively pursuing my own career and helping the next generation pursue theirs.
Yeah,
It's actually incredible, because I had this 14-year-old fight, and I had so many messages about this kid, and like, he's been with me for under a year.
Mm.
So I've made so many mistakes, and I've gone through so many hard trials in this journey, and martial arts was so hard to find, but I've got well over a decade's experience.
Yeah.
And I can show these guys the ropes, and they can excel far faster than I ever could have. I can teach them the mentality. I can teach them the...
Yeah, because I mean, it's also like, as you said, you know, and I think the take-home message behind this, because from the Gents Clinic and this podcast, Let's Talk Man, we want to empower men. We want to make young men feel empowered with it's okay to be a masculine man. It's okay to stand up for yourself. And sometimes you don't even need that. All you need is a stare.
Mm.
And you need to, this exactly. guy can teach yeah, you the stare.
I also want to say this. It's very healthy to have a good band of brothers that have faith in you and that push you to be the best that you can be.
100%.
Yeah. Yeah. Whether it's in a hobby, mm-hmm. whether it's in your passion,
100%.
You need someone, you need people around you that is going to push you, that is going to demand more from you, that 100%. Is going to help you realize your potential. And yeah. you need to make that agreement with one another.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
When you are, when you there, that is so valuable for men, for yeah. men specifically, exactly. that band of brothers, it really, this is something that all men relate to. When you're around your friends, for some reason, you feel like you can do anything.
Mm.
You feel like you can do you anything.
Feel empowered.
You feel empowered. Your confidence is all of a sudden high. Your jokes are funny. You feel good. Mm. Yeah. You feel good. Now, if you do that in a positive space, you can literally build remarkable people. You can build a remarkable lifestyle. You can contribute greatly to one another. There's a guy in my gym. And this guy he's got two children and he's in his late 40s.
Mm-hmm.
And he did kickboxing years ago, even competed. And he came to the gym and he was surrounded by all these younger men. And he wants to compete now. He started sparring. He's looking good. He's losing weight.
Mm.
It's like there's a when people are around you and they really want the best for you and support one another as brothers. You can push one another very far. And I think we all relate to that so strongly.
Yeah, yeah, that's true.
And I think that's really our take-home message, Faiz. I think, you know, we're all about empowering each other and really like bringing out the best in each other in every instance that we can. And so I hope that the viewers at home really look at this episode and go like, wow, I'm inspired to start something new, whether it's martial arts or anything else. I think your story is an incredible one. And I think from us here at The Real Network and Let's Talk Man, I think we need to get you to the UFC.
100%.
I think we need to get you to the UFC. I think we're going to do whatever we can to get you there. We're definitely going to have a follow-up episode with you. We're going to get the viewers to get together and hopefully contribute to getting you to the UFC. I think let's do that.
100%. 100%. I'm primed. I'm in position. I'm in consistent preparation. So I'm ready for it. As soon as they call, I'm ready to go.
Let's get
as soon
that
as
done.
They call. But I'm also going to be making so much noise that they can't ignore me.
Exactly.
I will not be denied. I will not 100%. Quit. I will not be stopped.
Yeah.
I'm coming. I'm coming.
It's going to happen. Whether you intervene or not, it's going to happen.
It's going to happen. It's going to happen. Thank you so much, Faiz.
Thank you, guys. Thank you for coming.
I'm actually sad that we didn't have more time with you because I know there's so many more stories.
I'll talk your ears off.
But definitely come back. We're definitely going to do this. We're going to make sure this happens. I'm so glad that we had you on the podcast. I think this is such an uplifting episode for anyone at home who's watching. Even if you're just a man who's stuck in a job and you like, there's something new that I want to do with my life and I haven't done it. Faiz is a perfect example of someone who said, this is what I'm going to do, even if it means getting up at 3 a.m. and punching that bag with the lady hooking the hooker for me. whatever must happen, it must happen. And I'm really glad that you came. So, thank you guys once again for another great episode of Let's Talk Man with the Gents Clinic. My name is Dr. Sohail Essa, signing off.
Dr. Nhlanhla Vilakazi.
Troublemaker Faiz Jacobs.
We'll catch you guys next week.